Part of why I feared doing daddy recovery was that all my life, my dad was defined by his almost godlike charisma. And I never felt charming enough to make my truth valuable or even believable by others. I was always so raw, sweet, and honest, but even with three or more virtues in my dad, I could not compare to his charm. It made me feel like my authenticity was somehow not worth it, especially in this world. I always joke with friends whom insist I should be a bigger actress by now, a pop star, or stand-up comedian, that it is hard to put yourself out there when you were raised by cancel culture. My dad in some ways showed that cancel culture is just social media's form of colonization, which is a belief that if you morally debase someone enough, you can materially take from them, or at the very least, make sure they don't have or can get for themselves. In the words of TikTok, either way, a win is a win. It is why my dad was relentlessly telling me I was horrible and almost ridiculously bragging about how much he gave his other kids that I did not deserve. Every meeting was like that. A meeting with cancel culture. Before any post I make, I swear at least 5 hours is spent with my finger over the publish button, especially if a post involves video. I just stare at myself thinking I'm the ogre he called me. And no, even putting that in this article might earn someone commenting, well, he didn't lie. I remember when Billie Eilish said how hard it is to come for haters, because sometimes they can be really funny and try to flip on you that somehow you lack humor with yourself. People were confused by her statement, but I had a direct example. There was not one day in my life my mother did not tease me for something, and my dad followed. Frankly, I did not do that to her or him, and I didn't enjoy how incessant it was. There were days I felt quiet and completely over-existing, and then I'd go to the internet and find someone had left the comment on my Selena review that I look like Yolanda Saldivar, and suddenly I was off the internet again, deleting another page. The truth is, I always knew I was meant to be famous, and that oddly scared me because it meant that I would always have to confront cancel culture. I would spend the rest of my life in public, private, at home, or even in my dreams, confronting this energy that truly thought it had a right to end me and my access to material wealth and resources. My father was so vicious with his words and tone, especially in public, that eventually I stopped asking him to help me. Our dates were a tussle between him verbally assaulting me, a brief conversation on some new TV show that we both liked, and me eating a salad quietly, trying to act like I never wanted that burger. Yet that is what cancel culture and any form of online base that is determined to destroy someone or something to materially replace or block it. That's what it does. It makes you live depressed and censored. One thing I always marveled about the internet, especially social media, is how many people are online versus how many people are trying to be influencers versus how many people are actually successful at it. When you look how many accounts do not have content or barely leave comments and have followers, most of us can say that is our reality. We are watchers of people that are doers, and we try to support them or avoid them because we know they would never support us. And if they rise the ranks of social media stardom and enter places we do not like, private, all-inclusive events, we wonder if somehow we knew how to brand our better hearts, we too could feel so materially safe. Okay, so let's unpack this. So I am terrified of doing this, of doing anything, of doing my music, of auditioning. I have this real fear of being seen because my father was so obsessed with telling me how ugly I was inside and out. And he usually does that with a lot of women. It was, I call it pigifying, which is, and I wrote, an upcoming article about that, which is, basically if you make someone, if you come for somebody's looks, they can't come for your character. If you act like they are just the ugliest person in features, when they say your soul is ugly, it's kind of like, you know, look at this pig telling me I'm not human. You know, give me a break. And that's what my dad would do to me. And when I think of like someone like Jennifer Lopez, who, you know, I know all the arguments. Is she talented? Is she good? Is she great? The point is, I think as an artist and somebody with social anxiety, like her cancellation, there's something I have to admire her, because I think she's like, you're not going to cancel me. But at the same time, I call it nickelbacking. And maybe I should write an article about that, nickelbacking, which is just like the internet decides to end you. And we don't know who, what, where, how, why. It'll probably invent some theories, or maybe it won't, like Nickelback. I believe that something Kroger, the lead singer, he was talking about like the madness and the sadness of spending your whole life trying to set up this dream, to do this career, and then suddenly you're a joke. And if you don't laugh, then you look like you're humorless. But if you laugh, it also feeds the joke and it gets bigger and bigger. And then you just look like you're that sad person trying to smile through. And he's like, where did it come from? Because I have to admit, we were all, you know, this is how you remind me. We were all doing that. And my point is with like Jennifer and Nickelback, there's just this feeling of the whole world is making fun of them and going against them and trying to act like they never deserved any money or fame or attention. And is it justifiable? I don't think so. I honestly don't. I'm like, let people live if you're lucky. And if you're lucky to have your hard work rewarded, great. Congrats. But it is mean. We can be certain about that. And I think that's where sometimes my fear comes in of like, am I ready to never get rid of that mean? And I think when you are a victim of like, particularly like psychological abuse, which my dad definitely did to me, you do have this weird fantasy that there is this world or this point in your life where nobody makes fun of you and nobody tells you you don't deserve. And there's not one bully. And I don't think that's necessarily possible. I think you just stop paying attention to them, or you know how to rise above them and not let them enter your life. That's what I'm trying to accept right now, which is why I started Daddy Recovery or had the courage to even begin. But there's something really sad about that to me, that there's not a day when you don't have a hater. And the more you rise, the more you will get them. And that is something to think about. That is something to think about. And I call cancel culture social media's colonizer, because I think that, like, you know, conspiracy theories, there's just so many different online groups that focus on ending other people, other communities, by saying that somehow they are just so stupid or savage, they don't materially deserve anything, human rights, access to health, wealth, you name it. And I think the whole dynamic is just really toxic. And I'm talking about the behavior of it all. At the core of it, that essence of believing that you have the right to end anybody. And it's something that I've always noticed about social media. How many people have accounts that are just, you know, they just log in to watch, because they know that social media runs on this idea: if I misinterpret you, if I act like you said something that you didn't, or you did something that you didn't, or even if you did, you can't be redeemed. If I behave like that, you're done. And if I know how to frame it in such a charming way, you've got no chance. And my dad was really, really charming. And it was very hard when I would talk about his abuse to him or my mom or any of the adults. It was heartbreaking to see how dismissed it was and how unprotected I was, because I just wasn't charming enough. I didn't know how to frame the words. I didn't know how to reframe the truth to make it almost, I use the word believable, but it really is buyable. I feel like we just buy truths that we want to hear and make them commodified. And that's how social media runs. And it's scary because I think, like I said, there's such a gap between how many people have accounts, how many people are trying to do something with those accounts, become influencers like myself, I guess, versus how many are successful. And it's just, it can be very overwhelming to know that just speaking your heart can get you a firing squad because somebody wants to have more followers than you. Ugh, it sucks. Well, that's Daddy Recovery. Read the article and follow the podcast and absolutely love me and listen to my music on all platforms as Deandra. Check out daddyrecovery.com.